The Amateur Hour podcast mock draft rolls on. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Sam Fassini, and we are joined by Amin Vafa from also of HP. Amin, how you doing today?
Great, how are you?
Doing well. I do have a request for you.
Sure.
Can you and Amin El Hassan switch Twitter avatars one day and just screw around with everyone?
I already get a lot of people in my mentions, like, responding to the stuff that he said on, like, True Hoop TV or in an article, and then I'll have to, like, forward him tweets and stuff. I'm like, I think that this is for you. but luckily for me, I don't get any of his haters, because if that happened, I would just quit Twitter.
I really think I would be highly entertained if you just did it for, like, a day. You guys just switched avatars and see what would happen.
Yeah, maybe after the playoffs. We'll do it in the offseason. I'll hit him up and see what we can figure out.
Okay, perfect. Not, Sam, if you have anything to add that's not stupid, you're more than welcome to now.
I only have stupid things to add.
Oh, please, add them.
Well, my dog was just, like, sniffing in my bag where my iPad is and stuff, and I was worried that she was going to pee on it because I've had my puppy for, like, well, she's not really a puppy anymore. She's over one. I've had her for, like, 9 months, and she's still not exactly what I would call potty trained. So that's a problem sometimes. So I have to watch her. Gotta watch her like a hawk. She's a pooping ninja.
Yeah, get that iPad out of there.
It's a struggle.
So the Washington Wizards, guys. So were you? I kind of thought they had a chance to beat the Hawks if Wall
yes.
didn't get hurt. Was that a tough series to take for you?
It was pretty emotionally taxing. But I think you're right. I think the general consensus is if Wall were not injured, they would have probably won the series. And I think, I mean, that's just been kind of the story of the playoffs, right? Like, injuries have been hitting teams right and left, and they have to deal with it and move on in different ways. And I think the way that they were able to actually play real basketball without John Wall, because in the past they have not really been able to do that, was a really impressive feat on their part. I mean, just the season where Wall was out half the year and they managed to scrape together like 5 wins in 40 games, like, that was just insane. And, you know, since then, like, they're not, I don't know the exact win-loss record, but they're not terrific with Wall on the bench. But they did a pretty decent job. Even, I mean, Atlanta was down too. I mean, but they really held their own and were able to play some really solid defense against them.
So with how this team has kind of developed over the past couple years and knowing where the salary cap is going, are you at the point where you're all right with the Gortat contract?
I think I am. I mean, I know that people really kind of hate it because of, like, how expensive he's going to be at the end of the contract. And I'm not too worried about it because he's been a really good companion with John Wall. And there's been some instances where he hasn't really played much in the fourth quarter, and people were fans were getting pretty upset about that. But Wall and Gortat have been playing really well together. Gortat's been – the familiarity on the team with the core has been great. And I think Gortat – any sort of transactions the Wizards are going to make over the next couple of years, I think Gortat is going to be key to whatever core they're going to continue to have in place. And I think he's going to be, like, the contract, I mean, if the cap goes up too, like, it's not going to be that much of a pain either, so.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty interested in what they can find a way to do with him and Nene, because I don't know that I see the use for both. I think if they could find a way to, like, dump Nene's contract somehow. Like, he's not a valueless player, but
sure,
his value is limited on that roster, I think.
Yeah, so the thing with Nene is, like, there's been talk about him playing more center this coming year, and I think that he's not really, like, he's talked about how he doesn't want to do that, and he's talked about it in the past, how he doesn't want to do that, and it makes sense for him. Like, he's, for whatever you want to call injury prone, like, he's pretty injury prone, and the more he plays at center, the more injuries he's going to sustain and not be able to play. So if you want to make him play more than 60 games, 50 games, you don't want to play him at center exclusively. The thing that Nene adds that Courtois doesn't necessarily have, though, even in Nene's, as he's getting older. He has, like, when Wall is on the bench, he's a really good, passer. I'm not going to call him a ball handler, but he's able to actually kind of initiate offense. And
you can kind of run him through the high post or, like, even in the post.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, with him, so when Wall is down, if you have Beal and Nene playing, then the ball still moves, and you're able to kind of initiate a real offense out of that, and you don't, you know, go down 20 points when John Wall's on the bench. And I think that's where the value is added for the Wizards more than anything else, like in terms of his scoring and his free throw shooting, which is terrible. But he does add that dimension that not really anybody else on the team has.
Are we buying the new identity we saw from the Wizards in the playoffs as a thing that's going to happen going forward with the small ball given Wall space to work with?
I think you need more stretch fours. I mean, if Paul Pierce comes back, you can't play him a stretch four all season, so you need someone else to be able to do it too, right? Like, he's not going to be able to have the legs to last 82 games plus playoffs. But I think they show that it's a way they can play and it does work. But they need to have someone else who can do it. I mean, they've been kind of trying to make Humphreys do it a little bit and not too much success. Drew Gooden can do it, but he doesn't like to take threes so much as he likes to take long twos. And I mean, it can work, but they need to space a lot better than they're currently doing. And the roster doesn't at this point allow them to space that well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that they're probably going to be in the market for one of those stretch fours. Possibly even in this draft, depending on who falls. You know, if Trey Lyles would get to 19, I think that would be pretty interesting for them. He's another guy like Drew Gooden. I actually compared him to Drew Gooden in my scouting report that I did. So I think that that's pretty interesting for them because he does have potential to stretch it out to three, but he's another guy that likes those mid-range jumpers. That helps a little bit. But, you know, it doesn't help totally. So that's kind of a problem. It's a roster with holes right now.
Yeah.
Especially in the front court, there's a lot of age and there's a lot of holes. In the back court, you're set because John Wall and Bradley Beal look like all-stars. On the wing, you know, Otto Porter looks really good. So that's a definite bonus. And if you can get Paul Pierce back, he did a lot of really interesting stuff as a stretch four in the playoffs. And I think that's probably his best spot. If you can play him at that stretch four spot, that would be great. But he's getting old. So you need something for the future, and I don't know what that's going to be.
Right. Right now you're talking about your Paul Pierce, who's, 37, and you were talking about him being a stretch four. And we're talking about Nene, who's, 34, I want to say. He's in his 30s.
He's old.
Yeah, he's in his 30s, and he's, because of his injury history, he's older than he should be. And he's your starting power forward in the traditional four. And I think that position obviously has a big weakness there in terms of what you can do. Now the Wizards can change the way they play to kind of hide that deficiency by kind of collapsing the floor a little bit. Like, I mean, really the way that they should play is they should have a stretch forward. They should be kicking out the shooters. They should space the floor so the Wall can drive to the rim at will in the half court, but they don't do that. Because they don't necessarily have the personnel to do that. So if they would definitely be in the market for a stretch four. If somebody drops in the draft, I could see them picking them up, but I would definitely see them hitting the market for the trade market for a stretch four.
Yeah, I
more
think
than
that
they would do.
We talked with Frank Madden from Brew Hoop for the number 17th pick, and we thought they would have been perfect for Ersan.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy that would really work for them, I think. They could play him next to Porter, who has a lot of length and might be able to help him defensively a little bit. Plus, Courtois and Nene are both pretty solid around the rim, at least, to where they're physical. They're not necessarily the longest guys. Well, Nene's pretty long, but Courtois's not necessarily the longest guy, but he's physical around the rim. He can at least dissuade guys from going in there. I think Ersan would have been perfect for them, but that's obviously not in the cards now.
Right. I completely agree. I think I was in a mock draft and I was watching another mock draft happen, and in both of those mock drafts, that trade did happen, Ersan to Washington. So, I think you're right. I think that would be in a good position. I think if there's a big trade that happens this summer, I think as good as Porter has shown himself to be in the playoffs, I think he's also shown himself to be good enough to trade. I don't think there's anybody else they could really get that they would want to trade him. But I think if they can really dangle someone's dangled out there, I think they could put together a decent package around him.
I think they probably could too, but I don't know that you'd want to trade him either. I think that his positional versatility, I think that we're seeing that right now in the NBA. Guys like him are so incredibly valuable, low usage guys that, you know, can really pass the ball, that can mm-hmm. at least have potential to shoot the ball, and that can defend multiple positions are very valuable. I don't know that I would trade him. He's kind of perfect for what they have at the 1 and 2 positions, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think the only thing is that the Wizards have to do everything this year with an eye to 2016 also, because they're the second horse in the race for Durant sweepstakes, as they like. I mean, I think they're actively thinking that. I think everyone else is actively thinking that. And I think being able to take a little bit of money off the books and get a good piece. You can pair a lot of things around Kevin Durant, obviously, but getting able to switch up a good piece around Otto Porter and then have Kevin Durant fill the small forward slot, you know, that's an even more versatile small forward that you can put there. Obviously, you know, if you trade Porter away, you're down with that, and you don't get Durant, you have a bit of a hole to fill there as well. But, I mean, it's something that I think I wouldn't be surprised if moves are made during the course of the year that, you know, try to make space for that to happen, and Porter becomes one of the things that moves.
Yeah, because he was the third pick in the draft, his salary slot in 16-17 isn't all that cheap. It's almost $6 million.
Exactly.
A guy I'm going to bring up here for the Wizards at 19 isn't someone that Sam likes, but based on the conversation we just had, I really think kind of makes sense here. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Sam Decker. I don't know whether you call him a 3 or a 4, whatever you want to do with him and Porter, but the two of them together with Porter's ability to shoot, and Decker's not the greatest shooter, but his slashing ability, I think that can make a good pair. And Decker's someone who, if the Wizards started pushing the pace more with Wall, he could really get out in transition and run with him. I kind of seems like a fit to me at this point.
I think having someone who can work in transition with Wall is a good idea. I don't know how often that's going to happen, just because the Wizards haven't shown themselves to, I mean, other than doing the whole stretch four experiment in the playoffs, they haven't really been open to changing their offensive philosophy that much. That might change. But there's not a ton of that activity going on. And I think you're right. I think having someone who can be play multiple positions would be really great for them. But they've also haven't been the team that throws young guys out there first. They'd much rather get a veteran and then put the young guy behind him and then see what the young guy can do later in the year. And that's really, I mean, if you look at the Wizards draft history, other than Wall, Beal, and Porter, like, it's been busted picks or sold picks. Like, they're not really, they like to fill out the roster with vets, and that's kind of what they want to do. And I think that if they really want to fill that position, they're not going to do it through the draft. If it's a position that they need to fill, they're not going to do it with a mid first rounder.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think that Decker really fits there, because he's not, to me, Decker isn't really versatile. He's more tweener. I don't know that you could play him at the four yet. I don't think that he's a good enough shooter to consistently play at the three yet. There's just a lot of problems there that I don't really love the fit. He'd make a killing off of backdoor cuts with John Wall, but I don't know. Plus, they still have Martell Webster in the fold.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, you know, who knows what you're going to get out of him. But he was really good in 2013-14. And he was really good in 2012-2013. So if you can get something out of him, I think that there's a pretty good shot that that hole is filled, like, just naturally and organically. Who knows if you can get something out of him, though. That's the key there.
I think you're right. I think they would rather play Webster before playing anybody else, just because he's familiar with the system and they know they've been able to count on him before. And I think he's locker room presence, like, the guys like him, like, people like being around him, like playing with him. They appreciate his style of play and his, like, demeanor. Like, he's just always joking. Like, people have fun with him in the locker room. Like, the guy, other teammates like him. They want him to be part of the team. But he's got, like, you know, 2012 was his, like, injury-freest season. And that's kind of, you know, he was a killer from three, and the Wizards really needed that. He was less useful this year, obviously, but I think you're right. I mean, he's got the size to be able to, like, play a 3-4, and I like the
usage. You could play him with Otto Porter at 3-4 spots.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually really like the way you distinguish between versatile and tweener. I think they're, like, two sides of the same coin. Like,
yeah.
One slot you can... is the person that's able to stretch out to both spots, and one is the one that never really finds their place. I think that's a really good distinction to make. And I think the Wizards really want to make sure that they're finding someone who's versatile as opposed to a tweener. And if they can't find that, then they want one guy to fill one positional role.
Yeah, and that's something that I actually realized whenever I was doing pre-draft stuff with Otto Porter. Whenever Porter was being called one of the most ready players in the NBA, like in the NBA draft that year, I didn't think that was true yet. I thought that he would be good eventually because of his length, because of his, you know, shooting ability that he had potential for, not really because of his shooting ability then, even though he shot 40% from three. I want to say it was his sophomore year at Georgetown, maybe his junior year. The problem with him was that he was a four that had really never played the three before at Georgetown, so he was going to be in kind of a sticky situation, kind of like Decker is this year, where he's not going to be able to really play immediately because he was a four at Wisconsin a lot of the time. And he was charged with offensive rebounding, crashing the glass and cutting, and not really shooting all that much. I know that they ran that five-out offense at Wisconsin, but, you know, Decker's like a 33% three-point shooter over the last couple years from the NCAA three-point line. So I don't know that I buy him just... him being able to play multiple positions in the NBA yet, you know.
Yeah.
Fine, you guys can both go dump on my idea.
The idea of it wasn't terrible. It's just the prospect himself that's not great, in my opinion. Like, for them, Justin Anderson would be interesting to me because you could play him and Porter together and be terrific defensively. Maybe not a great shooting yet, but... they could do something similar. And I don't really love that pick for them anyway. I think they should go either traditional four, traditional five that can shoot the ball a little bit, or a backup guard. But I think that there's not a need there, but they could make it work.
I think, Brian, to your point, I don't think it was I think it was a good suggestion. I just think the Wizards aren't the team for it, like, organizationally, because they don't have the patience for that kind of necessary development. Like, they've never shown themselves to be able to, like... they've hit on three picks in the past, like, 10 years. Like, they're not going to be able to develop a guy into the player that he needs to be to get them to fill the role that they need. Like, they would rather just go get a guy that fills that role, even if they have to overpay.
You know what they will do before they play Sam Decker as a stretch four next year? They will play Dwan Blair as a stretch four.
Oh, yeah.
Play Sam Decker as a stretch four.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I mean, I was pretty sure they should have played Chris Singleton as a stretch four before he disappeared into obscurity. But they didn't, and he has, so.
I liked Chris Singleton coming out of that draft. Whoops.
Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people. But, yeah, the Wizards weren't the team to put him on, I guess.
So who else are we putting in? Sam threw out some names. And me and anyone else you want to throw out as an option here.
I think for this pick, like, again, I think my stance is the Wizards are probably going to pick somebody with a handshake agreement and trade them on draft night. That's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to want to keep their options open for being able to trade next year's pick, too. Because I think that they want to clear as much cap. They want to go with the team they have with, like, modest improvements, and they want to keep as much off the cap as possible before going after Durant. Like, if they can't, they traded the pick last year, so they theoretically can't trade him until after they've made the selection this year, right? So they have to trade, they have to make the selection, then trade. So then, but if they trade this year, then they can't trade next year's until draft night also. So they have to figure out a way to be able to make that happen. And I think the 2016 pick is going to have a cap hold that they don't want in case they're chasing Durant, right?
Okay,
like, they're going to want to keep as little bit of money off the books as possible. I don't know all
so
of
I understand
related rules, but
I understand your point here. But They have 42 on the books right now, and that includes Bradley Beal's qualifying offer of $7.4 million. Mm-hmm. Let's say he gets $15 million next off, or this offseason, an extension. Let's say he gets like a max extension. So that's eight more. That's $50
million. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's $50 million on what's the cap going to be, about 90, somewhere in that range.
So they'll probably be okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine with without accounting for Durant, and that's you know, that's taking out of the equation Humphreys, it's taking out of the equation Blair, Webster, all those contracts that are non-guaranteed that they can dump.
Right.
The thing with that is, so you'll have like $1.5 million or so on your cap sheet there, so that'd be what, like 52. So you're 52 on a 90. I think they're going to be fine with the first-round pick this time around. If they can find the right guy, I wouldn't necessarily say that a trade is out of the question here. But I think that this is a cheap enough player at the 19 spot to where the marginal value of having him over another minimum player is a plus move.
Right. Okay. That's a good point.
I mean, I'm listening to you, and as someone who's gone through all of this numerous times, I'm sorry in advance.
I think it makes, I mean, it totally makes sense. Like, I mean, what you're saying, Sam, I think it makes sense. I think I've been trying to figure out different ways that are, like, legal in the books to make sure that, like, you could put, like, make the changes that are necessary to, like, really give, I mean, monetarily, you want that might be comfortable enough with Durant, but there might not be the roster might not be in the place where it needs to be to attract him.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to like make sure that, you know, like if they make, you know, huge deals, they're going to put more money on the books in 2016. They have to like account for that by like offsetting some of these other guys. Like, I don't know what they're going to be able to pull off. But it's, if it this roster, as it's constructed in 2016, might not be enough for Durant unless Durant just wants to go back to D.C. I mean, playing with John Wall and Bradley Beal obviously is a huge get, is a huge advantage. And playing with Gortat at center, I think, is also great. I don't know how much, I don't know if that's going to tip the scales, especially if they can keep a good core together in Oklahoma City. But, I mean, like, that's another discussion, I guess. But if I were going to, the Wizards were going to make this pick, I think you made a good point with Trey Lyles. I don't think that's who they would pick necessarily, just because I think that while we've talked about their need for stretch four, I think they would probably want to beef up their guard rotation a little more, and I think Jerian Grant would be a good pick in that regard, because I think they saw how difficult it is to like maintain a good, healthy guard rotation in the playoffs, and having a big guy who can handle the ball. Like, he's like 6'4", 6'5". He can, I mean, he's a tall point guard, but he's also, I mean, like, everybody's like a little bit of a combo guard. And being able to kind of play off of, like, Wall can handle the ball, Beal can handle the ball, Sessions can handle the ball, but having another ball handler makes sense because Sessions can only do so much as a primary ball handler, and having someone else who can, like, actually pick up the pace a little bit and see over defenses and see passing lanes can really help keep the offense running in like a manageable way when Wall is sitting down, and Wall needs to not play 45 minutes a game.
Yeah, no, I've had Jerian Grant as my pick for the Wizards, I think, in each of my last two mock drafts. I agree with that pretty substantially. The only guy that I would really see on the board that would be another option here is Trey Lyles. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot else here that really fits their two biggest needs. You know, I think Kevon Looney would interest them, but he's gone. I think that I don't think Harrell will really interest them because he can't shoot. I mean, if Kaminsky would fall, which I sincerely doubt that he would fall all the way to 19, that might be interesting. But again, I don't know. I don't really see much of a. Much else beyond Lyles and Grant here. I think that we're at the end of a tier, and those are your two guys that are at the end of the tier.
Yeah. I think another bonus for Grant is that he's local, so that would be a draw for him to like be more motivated to play, and it would be a draw for the, I mean, like, easy scouting. Also, they probably, the I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure the team is probably familiar with him just because he's local.
Yeah, I mean, that matters a little bit. I think that came into play with the Otto Porter pick a little bit. They were very familiar with him from being at Georgetown. Grant, you know, Grant was a pretty decent recruit, not like a crazy recruit, but I'm sure that they've seen as much of him as they need to see.
Yeah.
He also fits into your context of not needing to wait around for him to develop, as he's almost 23 years old already. So he's someone who,
exactly,
in theory, should be able to come in and play right away.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes,
I agree.
Totally agree. It's a pretty easy one, I think.
Yeah. I think, and, you know, I do foresee a couple more moves happening this summer. I mean, the Wizards are losing a lot of free agents this summer. I think they have, like, 3 or 4 unrestricted free agents that are probably going to go. I don't foresee them, unless they go with a big here, I don't really foresee them re-signing Will Bynum.
Their biggest one for me is Serafin. I mean, beyond Paul Pierce,
yeah,
trying to figure out what he's going to do with his player option. Serafin, however the hell you say his name.
Serafin.
Yeah, Serafin, I think, is their biggest question mark right now, because Serafin was their backup center and they don't really have another option beyond Gortat and Nene. Nene will probably, like you said, play some four this year, which is interesting, and it's probably to keep him healthy. But again, Nene doesn't really have a high degree of health throughout his career. So they're in kind of a tough situation, I think, as far as their center position. There's no one really on the board here that interests me either as a center. So they're probably going to have to go out and sign a center, maybe just for a season, because I'm sure they'll want to keep the books clear. And I think a lot of players will be willing to sign one-year deals this offseason because of the rising cap in 2015, 2016. If they could go out, and this is, you know, just crazy, but if they could find a way and go out and maybe get, like, a Tyson Chandler for, like, I don't even know, $6 million next year, or, like, their mid-level exception, just for a season, that would be interesting. Even though mid-level exceptions, I don't think, can be for a single season.
They have another exception available, too. Actually, they have two TPEs available, both around, like, $4.5 million, so they can kind of sign a couple players outright, I think. I'm not sure when they expire, but I think, well, one of them is from the Andre Miller trade, and I forget what the other one is.
4.6. The other one is Trevor Ariza, 2.2.
Yeah. I think the Ariza one's higher.
It's 2.2. Yeah.
Okay, so they can sign a couple guys outright, plus they have their biannual exception again, since they spent the last one on Eric Maynard. Which didn't go as planned. Hey, backup point guard. Weird. It's a weird little theme for them. I think they've got options. I think they can sign a couple people this summer, and I think that's probably what they'll do with the center position, or they'll just really try to get a lot of mileage out of Blair, like trying to play Blair as an undersized five. That's probably maybe what they'll do if they want him in the rotation. I mean, they're paying him for 2017, so they probably should play him a little more.
If you were to guess, do you think Pierce is back or not?
I'd say yes. I think he is back. I think wanting to play. I think he had a fun year. I think he enjoyed playing. I don't think he has any, like, he's probably going to retire after the season, or play like one season, a one-year deal with the Celtics or something in 2016 for, like, an exorbitant amount of money to, like, take advantage of that huge cap and then retire. Like, I think he's got a little bit of miles left in him. I think there's probably enough mental separation from having your buzzer beater waved off that he might actually want to come back and compete some more. But I think they did pretty well with him, and I think he has more. I think the Wizards have more to use from him, not just in stretch four, but, like, teaching the other guys how to, like, you know, all the off-court kind of stuff, like, all the mental stuff. I think Pierce really helped the guys to mature in that way more than other players have. Like, him and Nene were, like, basically turned this team into, like, serious human professionals. Before that, they were just, like, rudderless, like, running around. They had no idea what they were doing.
That was a big step forward.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it was, remember with JaVale McGee, Nick Young Wizards? I mean, Andre Blatch? Like, this is what that team used to be, and look at them now.
Oh, even when Gilbert was there, who I loved watching play, it wasn't like they were a professional. I mean, they were good, but they were still some weird personalities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, with Pierce, I think the only worry is the Clippers. If not, I think he'll be back this year. Like, if Doc convinces him to go for, like, the minimum to the Clippers, because, hey, Paul Pierce has made an exorbitant amount of money in his career, so what's $5.5 million more? Which is hilarious to say. What's $5.5 million more dollars? But whenever you're talking about a guy, that would be his, that would be what, maybe, like, 1/40th of his career earnings? You know, maybe that gets interesting. But
yeah,
that's the only way I think that he is back.
I think if the Lance signing works out for the Clippers in a way that they want it to, maybe they probably won't need to sop up sometimes at the wing and need Pierce. I mean, if Pierce can play the four, I guess that's different. But if they wanted to bring him to play the three, I mean,
yeah.
Lance Stephenson's kind of there, so.
Yeah, I agree with you. The biggest need for the Clippers now is figuring out how to get. They need a couple bigs to back up, hopefully for them, Jordan and Blake. I mean, the need on the wing, they just need another backup. I don't think they really need someone who can play 25, 30 minutes a night anymore.
Yep, I agree.
So Amin's Wizard stuff I forgot to mention at the beginning. Bulletsforever.com is where you want to go and get all your latest Wizards news, part of the SB Nation network. Anything else we're missing out here or
Bullets Forever, it's a great site. A lot of good folks over there writing some good stuff. And you know, Harvard Paroxysm family of network of blogs, part of the fansided community. Plug. You know how we do.
All right. Mean, good stuff. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Had a great time.
Yep. That wraps up another edition of the Amateur Hour podcast mock draft.